episode 14. Who really cares? This is Jordan Witzkin. If you're listening, just a reminder, we do have a YouTube channel with a video version where we watch clips. I do some TikToks. I'll look at those and a bunch of stuff. So if you like visuals, then go to YouTube and watch it there and subscribe and like it. I gotta say, last week when I released it, I got a couple people said they really liked it. So not many, because 11 people listened to this total between listening and watching. But either way, dude, positive messages help. Make me want to keep doing it. So if you have a negative message, DM me and I'll read it. That'd be cool. So that was great. I need to get the opening video ready. Let's see. A couple things. We have still in lockdown here, so not much has happened. We all have to wear masks in LA, and I think the White House just said that everyone in the US should be wearing something to cover their face, so that's cool. I was already wearing one when I go outside anyway, so because of my job. But all right, let me pull up this video, this opening clip, and we'll start watching. And I already lost it. Here we go. See, also, yeah, I heard that someone told me I say a lot, so I'm definitely gonna cut together me saying as much as possible. Here it is. And 3, 2, 1.
What's going on here in this country? It's absolutely pathetic. I can't say the N-word, but you can get on YouTube and watch any black man's rap video and they're calling each other the N-word. What the hell is this discrimination? I'm white. I can't say the N-word and they can't. And
all right. There's Joe Exotic yet again. Hopefully you aren't sick of hearing him. But this is a video that was not in the documentary. This was found on Twitter. Someone at In Theory tweeted this. And it went viral, and I love it. What a great argument, too. It's actually a terrible argument. One of the worst. So, yeah, that was Joe Exotic, who is upset that he can't say the N-word. And as a white man, I will tell him that you can say it, and you can get beat up for it, or die. And you know what? A lot of people wouldn't care. Yeah, so Joe, I mean, it's not like, I guarantee he says it. It's not like he lives in the middle of, as we learned last week, bumfuck Oklahoma, so. Man, this dude is something else. I don't know why that wasn't in the documentary. That would have been so funny if they just cut that in there. Because it looks like it's when he's campaigning for either president or governor. And I love that that was part of his campaign. It was, why can't I say the N-word? Like, well, you can. And you can die. Or, you know, probably won't in bumfuck Oklahoma. So, yeah, dude. Hey, white people, me, don't say the N-word. Pretty simple. It's, I talked about this last week in actually there should be a clip out too of me talking about it if you just want to listen to that. Instead of the full episode, I'm releasing clips every week of the previous episode. About how this is exactly like the 2016 presidential election. Trump didn't run on saying the N-word, but I think that was a message a lot of people got. So this is yet again just another cool thing about Joe Exotic. I'm liking this dude more and more every day, you know? Very cool. And I love too that he's got that cane in his leg strap while he's saying all this, and he like can't sit still because he's so fired up about it that he can't say the N-word, as if it's such a hindrance to him that he can't say it. Like his life would be so much better if we just let him say the N-word. Doesn't matter, dude. Just don't say it. God, I hope he says it in prison. That'd be so funny. Also, dude, there's a lot of memes going out about this, and people are commenting that that they want to buy a Tiger because it's only $2,000. And at first, I was like, yeah, those are just jokes. But I was convinced that if millions and millions of people are seeing this, then some people are definitely going to go buy Tigers now. And the problem continues. I think all the memes about Carol Baskin's killing her husband are hilarious. But if the message from this documentary is that you can buy a Tiger for $2,000, you got the wrong message. A lot of people are interviewing the cult leader. Doc Antle. I haven't listened to any of the interviews. I need to, because I'm so interested in how they treat him, because that guy is a real piece of work. I was following, I think I said this last week, I was following two chimps that live there, and I thought about unfollowing them, but if you ever see the page, it's, I think they're called Chimp Brothers, it's a page that's impossible to unfollow because they post 10 out of 10 videos and pictures every day that are great, and the chimps look happy, so I'm gonna let that one slide. I don't know. I'll stop talking about the documentary. I'm sure everyone, if you haven't seen it, watch it. And I'm sure if you have seen it, you've already heard and talked too much about it by this point, by the time this comes out, because this will be out next Wednesday. So, yeah, dude. But yeah, LA, still in lockdown. The whole world on lockdown. Hasn't changed yet. Maybe, I mean, it definitely won't be changed by the time this comes out on Wednesday, but it's wild. LA is barren. No one goes outside. The stores, I work at a grocery store. We had to close our store to the outside public, only doing deliveries, which I do, which has been great, actually. It's just, I mean, it's a little risky. I wear a mask and gloves and stuff. The streets, there's no traffic in LA, which never happens. Yeah, once the sun goes down, it just, like, there's literally no one. And in LA, that only happens at like 1 or 2 in the morning when you're driving, if you're on the road on a normal time of year without the coronavirus. There's no one on the road at 2 a.m. and it feels like the apocalypse then. But now it's like broad daylight, no one out there. It's a weird feeling, because I've been out here for almost 3 years, and I've gotten used to a certain way of it looking in this city, and it's starting to feel a little weird. Like everything's closed. I mean, I think when this is all over, the economy will fix itself, because it always does. But I think it'll happen decently fast. Depending on when this ends, if this goes the whole summer, then obviously that probably won't happen. But if it ends before like June, then I see it fixing. I could see it happening before the election, which would be very interesting. It would make it all interesting. I'm a political expert, so, and an economical expert. It's pretty cool. But yeah, dude. Oh. It reminds me, it doesn't really remind me of this, but it's a, like, I think everyone's been talking about all 2020 has been terrible because it started off with Kobe Bryant dying. And I was in LA when Kobe died, and that was also a weird time, but for like different reasons, obviously. Like you didn't really know what to say to people. I know I went to work that day. First of all, I woke up at noon on a Sunday, which was the least Kobe thing that I could have been doing. Sleeping till noon. My defense, I had work, so there was no point in getting up earlier than that. But yeah, I woke up to a call and said Kobe died. I didn't believe it. This is old news too, but I haven't been recording anything for months, me or my brother, so neither of us has talked about this, so you're just gonna have to listen. But yeah, Kobe died, and I remember outside, like the day before, it was so foggy, like a couple days before. And yeah, didn't really think anything of it. That's weird in itself. It's usually not, like, the weather here is usually just fine. If anything, it's like cloudy sometimes in the winter. Doesn't really get foggy often. It was like noticeably foggy, and like, so I remember telling people how foggy it was, and then the next day, still foggy, and Kobe dies. And then I remember going to work and like didn't know if people were like in shock still, and that was when you started seeing all the jerseys up in the, it was like a, it was a crazy like experience to see, to be driving around LA and seeing all the support for him. I should have gone downtown to the memorial, but I had stuff to do, and it's really far, and I don't have a car, so I use a company car when I deliver. And it was a somber time, to say the least. Like I said, you didn't really know what to say to people. All you could do was like speculate, because at that time you didn't know who else was in it. When I first heard about it, I didn't think for a second that any of his kids would be in the helicopter. And then I was like on social media and I saw that people were speculating if his whole family was in there. I was like, oh my God. And then there was like other NBA players that they thought were in there. Rick Fox, I think, was one of them. Yeah, it was scary. It was weird. Like, it was easily the biggest like single tragedy in this city that I could think of, especially for a celebrity. Yeah. This year has not been very good for a lot of people. But anyways, yeah. And then again, you've probably heard all about this because this is months ago, but like I said, I haven't recorded. Ari Shaffir, comedian, I'm a fan of his, have been for a while. I think he's hilarious, but he tweeted a video celebrating that Kobe died. Got a lot of backlash. I think the coronavirus honestly saved him because people started focusing on something else. And not a smart thing to do, to post that video. He did it for all the dead celebrities, but I think the only thing he should have done is just waited a little bit to see who else was on there. Like I said, I hadn't thought of anyone. Like, Kobe dying is enough for you to just like stop. And you know, I don't know. It's been talked about. You can look up people smarter than me talking about it, but yeah. I mean, I don't hate Ari. Still, I would go see him perform everything without beating him up. I know he's like been scheduled, or before all this, he was scheduling dates under like a fake name, which is probably smart because people wanted to kill him. Yeah, he'll bounce back from this. Comedians, they'll figure it out because they just don't stop. Louis C.K. is not going to stop. he's been out like for like a whole year. And yeah, comedians don't stop. However, they do stop when there's a virus going around and there's nothing to do. I've talked about it on earlier episodes, but I was doing open mics for a while before all this happened. I actually hadn't done one in a hot minute, but that was really because I was super broke and didn't have a car or any way to get to the places without breaking the bank in an Uber. And yeah, can't do anything. A lot of comedians, this is the longest they'll ever go without doing a set. Because really, once you start for real, then the only way to get good at stand-up is to do it every week, multiple times a week. And that's what you do. That every good comedian that you see, they just didn't stop doing it. Even people don't really know this, but Chappelle, people think he stopped doing stand-up. He would do underground stuff that, and you know, no one would film it or anything. He would do just free shows like in a park. So I know like people are trying to make the best of it. That's why podcasts are good for these people. They get to like riff on things. You know, it helps you speak, but it's not the same as being in front of an audience. This is so easy compared to that. I'll tell you from experience. Yeah, it's just not the same. Being an open micer, I cannot get better until this is over. But hopefully by the time this is over, I'll be able to afford a car. I honestly think like profiting off the coronavirus because people are tipping like crazy because I'm getting a ton more deliveries and there's no traffic. So I get to the places super fast and I get back to work so that I can take more. So I'm getting a ton of tips and saving my money because I'm not spending it anywhere because there's nowhere to go. And possibly by the time this is over, I'll have a car in LA, which I've wanted for many years, but I haven't been able to save because it's impossible here. Dude, I share a room with someone and then there's two other people in another room and I pay $850 a month. So it's really hard to save money. Granted, I live in Santa Monica, so that's an expensive place, but that's where I go to college and I don't have a car. So I can't live too far because I don't want to ride the bus for 2 hours. Anyways, back to stand up. It's crazy. Some people have asked me what it's like doing open mics in LA, and I haven't really fully explained what it's like. Can't speak for really anywhere else because first of all, comedians, you're supposed to start doing open mics in your hometown. Not supposed to, but most people do. And that's just better. That's where you can suck and it's fine. You go to a couple of places because there's not many usually in everyone's hometown, and you get better over the years. And then when you're good, you start headlining shows there or maybe opening for headliners there. And then you move to New York or LA. Really, those are the two main ones. And so you move there and then you start doing open mics here and you meet people and then you grow from there. I didn't know anything about that, and other people haven't. If you look at a guy like, I love Tom Segura, he did the same thing. He was actually born in Cincinnati like I was. He just moved around. And he had the same thought process I did. It was like, yeah, you just moved to LA and you become a comedian, of course. Which, it's not how you're supposed to do it, but it's too late. So that's what I did. I just moved out here with that plan. I went to an open mic within my like first month of being here. Did terrible. Told myself that I didn't really care, but I did, and then I didn't go back for 2 years. And then when I was 21, so last year, I did it again for the first time. Did great by terrible, like very low standards, and yeah, then I kept doing it over and over again until I ran out of money, and then I couldn't keep going, and then I lost momentum. But anyways, being an open micer is it's rough because you're not gonna get laughs. If you do, great. That's good. I've gotten a few. It felt great. But usually you suck, and you're kind of supposed to, because you're supposed to learn. And I think Joey Diaz is a comedian. He said, you don't go to open mics to get laughs. You go to do it. And then you go to, you know, you're there to meet people and learn from your mistakes. And then eventually you'll get a break, or you'll, someone will, that's better than you, will ask you if you want to be on their show, or, you know, stuff like that. Which again, all of that has been cut to a halt. So yeah, it's there's a ton of open mics in this city, like a ton. And you don't know what are great and what aren't, where good spots are. I live in Santa Monica, a very nice place. You would think there'd be multiple venues. There aren't, there's one, and it's a lottery. A lottery is you put your name in a hat and then they pull it. And if you don't get called for the whole night, you don't go up. Luckily at that one, they pull all the names first. But I did one at the Hollywood Improv, which is a very, very famous place. And that one, they just pulled it. And you just had to sit there the whole night and wait, hope you got up. I did get up, and I did terrible. Actually, it felt worse than it sounded on the recording. It felt really bad. And then I listened to the recording, and there was like some laughs, so that made me feel a little bit better. But that was around the time I was just didn't have any money to keep doing it consistently. And so that's why I've been saving. But anyways, yeah, that's what it's like being an open mic comedian in LA. Don't know what it's like anywhere else. I do, when I go back home next, I want to try to go to one. I didn't go in the winter, which I should have, when I went home for Christmas. Me and my brother wanted to go check one out. It's a whole new ball game when you try stand up for the first time. It's a tough thing to get good at. It takes a lot of time. Which, like, when you go to an open mic and people and someone does great, you're like, holy shit, that's amazing. Doesn't happen often though. When it does, you can only, like, that's why, like, people, like fans of comedy, they don't like certain comedians. I think all comedians have like at least some respect for every single one, because you just know that it's really hard. But this is from someone that's really bad, so of course I'm gonna call it hard. Yeah. What else, dude? I got some TikToks to play. My brother sent me one. He said he really liked it. Let's listen. Cool. That was extremely accurate. Yeah, that's one of those kids that probably did that all the time to get that good at it, and annoyed a lot of people, which is actually funny because me and Jake, mostly Jake, when I was too young, but then it became me, would make sound effects whenever possible, and my mom would get very annoyed by it, which was hilarious. So I understand this guy. I feel him. You make these sounds, and people get annoyed at first, but then you get really good at them, and then they laugh. Very funny. Oh, this is the one I wanted. This one went viral. It's one of my favorite videos on the internet now. I'm gonna set it up for you. I get road rage sometimes. I think a lot of people do. When people don't use like turn signals. You know, fuck you, right? Or if you're hogging a lane or something, I don't know. If you're doing something, if you're in two lanes, if you're in a lane, you're parked, and you're not supposed to be. And that is the example that we have here. This is a guy parked in a lane that you're not supposed to be parked in. And this dude pulls up next to him, angry already. I used to watch road rage videos all the time. One thing I notice is that people turn into little children when they get angry. Like, they don't, like, no one, if you think about it, once you're 12, actually, before 12, when you argue with someone, you yell at them. But at some point, you learn that that's not really worth it to just yell at someone. Like, that's what happened to me. I just started, like, ignoring people instead of getting mad because I would get so mad that I would cry. That happened all the time. And so, once you're, like, 12, then you stop really, no one really teaches you how to deal with it. They either tell you to fight them or walk away. Or the only examples you have are adults who just act like tall children. And this guy actually, if I remember, he acts pretty maturely, the dude that's angry. And the guy's mad at, it's actually making the mistake that's parked somewhere he shouldn't be. He's the one filming. And he does the funniest thing that you could possibly do in one of these situations. Like I said, I watch videos where people pull out guns. That's hilarious for a different reason. This is just pure comedy. Let's watch.
Hear what you said.
I said this is a lane. You're parking in a.
I know. I'm waiting for the car. I just came out to my parent. I just came out to my parents. I came out to my parents that I'm gay. I don't know how to tell my parents that I'm gay. I just came out to my parents. I'm bisexual. I don't know what to do anymore.
Dude, I get it. Just to park here.
I'm just.
I get it. You're in lane. You're in lane. People have to go.
I will. I'm bisexual. I'm figuring out. I just came out to my parents. A little emotional right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh my God. That was genius. So, if you're only listening, it's just this guy parked. And a dude pulls up to him, in, like, just so angry right off the bat, telling him, you can't park here. This is a lane. And the caption is, how I deal with road rage. This guy was posted by, is on TikTok, at Adam Glynn, G. Lynn. Adam G. Lynn. Adam G. Lyon. G. Lyon. And Adam, I'm just going to call him, he the most genius way to deal with someone yelling at you is to pretend that you just came out of the closet. Who thinks of that on the spot? That's genius. He tells him, I just came out and I don't know how to tell my parents. And the guy was pulling away by this point. The guy wanted to just yell at him and drive away, which a lot of people do. Because no one really wants to fight. They just want to yell at you and then drive. And that's what this guy wanted to do. And as he was pulling, he got mad, and then pulled, and then stopped, and then listened, and heard that this guy was trying to come out to his parents as gay or bisexual. Which is so funny. And the dude looks like he's like, oh, fuck, who did I just pull over on? Who did I just yell at? Like, I just picked the one dude that is dealing with something that I'll never have to deal. Maybe this guy has dealt with it, and he knows, and that's why the guy actually, like I said, people behave like children when this happens. This is the most effective way to get someone to pause and think about it, take a breath, and then remember that I'm 42. And that I shouldn't be yelling at people. My philosophy is, if you're going to yell at someone in your car, you need to be prepared to get out and fight them. Now, my philosophy is, if you're going to yell at someone from your car, you have to be prepared to walk them through coming out of the closet. Those are the rules. And since this video came out, I haven't gotten that mad at people because I'm not ready to help someone come out of the closet. I'm not. That is something that I'm simply not ready for. Yeah, Best TikTok ever. Which actually reminds me of what I was going to say. Before the coronavirus, and living in LA, this happens. I hugged a gay man for the first time. And if you're listening to this from Ohio, which a lot of people do, you haven't experienced that, or at least so you know. They could have been in the closet, like this guy wasn't. And I will tell you firsthand about my gay hug that it was the best hug I've ever had in my entire life. It had all the warmth of my mother with the strength of my father. God, it was a good hug. Anyways, yeah, what a great TikTok. Man. I think those are the only two that I had. I'm trying to get more. I picked two that didn't have any music because you can't. I did on the last episode. I used music on one, but you can't monetize it, which doesn't matter because, like I said, 11 people listen to this total between Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. However, because I cut these things into clips, I want those clips to be made, and clips are more likely to have more views. So I don't want to use any with music. And if in the future there is one that's too funny to use, or, you know, without, that's too funny with music to not put on here, then I'll still put it on there and I might just have to cut out the music, or I won't do it like I did with the last one. I don't know. So those are the two I have. I'm going to start curating more. I think they're just too funny. There's a couple more things I wanted to say. I have some. Last week I introduced local boners, and I get annoyed by them. I'm sure, you know, look, the majority of people that listen to me, majority being 6 out of the 11 probably, are in Ohio, in Cincinnati, where I'm from. And, you know, maybe you are a local boner and you're listening to this. That's okay. I need to describe. It's really just people that should be doing something else other than caring that much about their hometown. Like, if you're fully into your career and you have a family, you have a house, you have payments, you are locked in and you're pretty much set for a while. But you're set for a while. That's fine. Just dive in. Love your team. Care about everything that happens. I know that once I'm settled with everything, then I'll start really caring about sports again. But I stopped because it was something that didn't help me whatsoever. So if you're young and you have shit to do, care less about the Bengals versus the Steelers. Care less about a quarterback that's now younger than you are. Care less about where a high schooler is going to go to college that you've never met before that could probably hook up with your girlfriend if you wanted to, or if they wanted to. And honestly, you'd let them because they're 19 years old or 18 and they have athleticism that you wish you had. So that is what I wanted to talk about. And with that, I will pull up two pictures. Last one was a video, but that one was the one with the music. So these are two pictures. This first one is not that one, is this. Just saw a couple days ago. It's a tweet that annoyed me. Someone quoted a tweet. The tweet that they quoted was a picture of shelves missing toilet paper. This was March 16th. The original was March 15th, and then the quote was March 16th. The original picture is, this afternoon, there were only two shelves completely empty at the downtown Cincinnati Kroger. Toilet paper and ramen. COVID-19. Hashtag COVID-19. And, I mean, you know, it's a coronavirus, so kind of serious, I guess, right? And this guy, T-Dog Cincy, don't know who he is, says, so nice of Kroger to display Xavier's trophy case in this desperate time. Ah, oh, cool. Okay. You saw an empty shelf and you're like, dude, this is a perfect time. Dude, people are dying. Perfect time to fucking roast a university. Roast them. And honestly, I don't know how Xavier's going to recover from this. The millions of dollars they pull in every year from students applying and going there. And their athletics. How are they going to recover from you tweeting about their empty trophy case? Which, by the way, when I was in high school, I was all about, like, we hated Xavier. We hated Xavier. And I was 16. This guy with a beard. And I can't see it because this is just a picture, but if you look at the bottom, Mitch XU replied to it, which XU is Xavier University, probably clapped back. I didn't even see that until now, so I didn't screenshot it, but I'm sure it would annoy me. Jesus. All right, and our other one that we have here is just a picture of one of the guys from Tiger King, actually, one of the lovers that has no teeth. And the caption is, Steelers fans that reply, quote, six rings. Okay. You got them, dude. You got them. And you won. And I hope you went to bed. Fool. Hope that hole was filled. Go to therapy. For sure. Jesus. Something else. Anyways. Yeah, just don't care that much. Do something else. Because the only reason I'm talking about this is that I know that these are young people's accounts. Focus on better things. If you're a sports reporter for that team, cool. Do it. Roast them. That's fine. And again, if you're an athlete, Conor McGregor doesn't shut up about how much he loves Ireland. But guess what? He represents them. So of course he should be doing that. That's fine. If we had an actual Star Wars and I was in space with planet Earth on my chest, I would hype up Earth. For sure. But I'm not. Neither are you. Stop pretending like you are. So nice of Kroger to display Xavier's trophy case in this desperate time. Shut up. Okay? Which actually makes me even happier that sports had to stop. I mean, it sucks for sure. I feel bad that the seniors didn't get to finish their last year. That sucks. But, you know, happened. Again, those people have the right to be upset, and then they can talk shit about their rival team. Sure, but guess what? You're not them. Maybe you are them. That's cool. So annoying. So glad Cincinnati doesn't have an NBA team, because it would just be this more of the same. We have enough teams. Enough teams already. There's so many teams that we hate one of them. Half the people hate two of them, Xavier and UC. Stupid. Okay. Cool. All right. Said plenty of times in this. Trying not to. Hopefully I did it less than the last time. Yeah. I think I had another video TikTok that I wanted to show, but I'll just save that for next week because I did not save it to my phone, which I should have done. So, I did longer than last week, which is good. So if you need to find me, if you're one of the 11 people listening or watching, my Twitter is jwitzkin, Instagram Jordan Witzkin. There are two different names for the Twitter and Instagram for Who Really Cares, and I can't remember which one's which. So just look up Who Really Cares podcast, and I'm sure it'll be the only one. I just ordered a new microphone, so I am going to try to incorporate prank calls into this, and I'm really excited about it. Hopefully, because I don't know the technology to just get the stuff right up to the computer. When I learn that, I'll do it. Until then, I'm just gonna put the microphone next to the phone and call them, and then I'll put subtitles up so you can understand what everyone's saying. Hopefully I'll be doing characters and stuff while I'm talking to them. Should be a lot of fun, so look out for that. That'll make it a little bit more fun. I'll have more TikToks next time. Again, always going to try to open with a clip. Listen for more. Follow it on Spotify. Listen on there. Send it to your friends, people you know. You don't have anything else to do. It's the coronavirus. When this ends, you can stop listening or watching. But until then, don't. Anyways, thank you. And that'll do it for today. Hey, if you like that, subscribe, like it, and watch more.